Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. It's the two of us again this week. We have a very special episode as we kick off Cairn Month on Faith on the Field. We're going to hear from Pro Football Hall of Famers Emmett Smith and Jerome Bettis, and Cairn University President Dr. Todd Williams joins us for a conversation you don't want to miss. He brings excellent perspective to the challenges that we're all facing now during a global pandemic, but it looks like things are getting better and better.
Thank you, Jesus. We're starting
to move out of different phases, and more and more people are able to work, go out. Hope everyone had an awesome Memorial Day weekend. We're going to talk about wisdom, wisdom on this episode, because you're going to hear Emmett Smith say in a brief conversation, the older we get, the more wiser we're supposed to become. And you're going to hear from Dr. Williams, who is filled with wisdom. So there is so much in the Bible, a ton in the Bible about wisdom. It's mentioned throughout the Old Testament, and especially in Proverbs. Yes. It's in the New Testament. I want to take a look at and start off with 1 Corinthians 20 to 25. And I'm going to read from, last week I did the Passion Translation. This week I'm going to do the NLT because I compared both. I like the NLT version of this. So I'm going to read from there. And it's 1 Corinthians 1, 20 to 25. And this is Paul writing, "So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength." I love what Paul is saying in here. He's just laying out wisdom beautifully and simply. And wisdom is Jesus. Wisdom is the knowledge and faith in Jesus, our belief and our trust in Christ. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And if we want wisdom, we got to start with him. All other wisdom flows from there. The wisest, the smartest, the best decision that we can make is to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. But it's not to say that education and knowledge is not relevant. Right. Education is great. Knowledge is invaluable. It's incredibly important to gain as much knowledge as possible, to get a great education, to learn daily. Learning's a daily thing. It's a daily process. We're never too old to learn. And as Emmett says, the older you get, the wiser you become. We're never too old to learn more information, to understand new material, to grow intellectually. Education and knowledge it's vital to society continuing to develop and sustain itself. But there's a ton of smart people in the world. People who have changed the world with their ideas, their philosophies, their thinking. People who have come up with inventions, with medical advancements and vaccinations. And we know now everybody's trying to come up with a vaccination, right, for COVID-19 and surgical methods and surgical procedures and people who've invented new technology, and we see technology continue to grow, and there is, it's just immense. There are geniuses in medicine, in architecture, in people who are experts in their field, and they have so much wonderful and useful and important vast knowledge that we need. But but if you don't have the wisdom to know Jesus, what does it all mean? Right? If you don't have the wisdom to know Jesus, mm-hmm. as smart as you may be, but if we don't have the wisdom to know Jesus, because mm-hmm. without him, we don't have salvation. So I want to quote, I want to read this to you. Mm-hmm. This is a quote from the late Ravi Zacharias, who passed away this month. Mm-hmm. And he said, outside of the cross of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. there is no hope in the world. That cross and resurrection at the core of the gospel is the only hope for humanity. Wherever you go, ask God for wisdom on how to get that gospel in, even in mm-hmm. the toughest situations of life. Wisdom's a wonderful gift, right? It's mm-hmm. a wonderful gift. But wisdom, and this is what I want to emphasize, it isn't what we know. Mm-hmm. Wisdom is who we know.
Yes.
And as I said earlier, the wisest, the smartest, the best decision we can make is to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he's the wisdom of God. See, it's not what we know. All of that is great. Right. It's, and I would, to have knowledge and to have so much information and a great education right. is so, so very vital and important. But wisdom,
right.
to know Jesus Christ, that is the smartest and the wisest and the best decision we can make.
Like, I have just a quick example. You ever heard of someone winning the lottery, like winning like $1 million in lottery, and then the next thing you know, they went broke within like 2-3 months? It happens all the time. And it's basically because you, wisdom and knowledge are actually kind of two separate things in this world. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can have the knowledge of you owning a house or $1 million or whatever, but you don't have the wisdom to know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the wisdom to know what to do with $1 million, you will lose it.
Oh, you didn't even have to go to the example of
lottery. Yeah, like,
look at sports. In sports, how right. many athletes end up broke because
right.
they get money? They come from not having money. Then
right.
they get money thrown at them. Then they don't know how to invest it properly,
yeah,
spend it poorly,
it.
And the lifespan of an athlete is so short.
Right.
Oftentimes, that's it. And now, if you didn't get an education and didn't prepare for life after,
right.
you're out of luck. You don't
right.
have anything.
So it's the same thing with our lives. If God gave us this life to live, but if we don't know what to do with it, we don't have the wisdom to live it well and live it with Christ, we will eventually perish, and we will eventually not have anything that's worth anything, because our life will be completely wasted. So it's, you know, with Solomon, all he wanted to do was have wisdom.
Yeah.
God said, you can have anything and everything, like you're a king, you can have anything and everything, and he said, I just want wisdom. And God gave him wisdom, because he said, because you wanted only wisdom, now I'm going to give you everything else, because He can trust him now with everything else, because he asked for the one thing that is more valuable than anything else, is what to do with what you have.
Yeah,
it's the most important thing. You have to know what to do with what you have. So when God gives you a family,
mm-hmm.
when he trusts us with that family to have the wisdom to lead that family the way Christ wants us to lead that family.
Yeah.
If he wants to give us money, the same thing. If he wants to give us health. So it's a shame. Like, we sometimes we don't do that. We don't do the right thing. We know, like, we should eat healthy. We should exercise.
Mm. Oh, but that ice cream tastes so good.
Exactly. Like, we just house.
That piece of chocolate tastes so good.
We just house this, like, s'mores right now.
Yeah.
Because it's really yummy. But
oh, it's only the second time I ever had s'mores, and I'm not a fan.
S'mores are really yummy, though.
That you guys like it. I'm not a fan.
Really?
But we digress. Yeah. I now have the wisdom not to taste it again.
Not to eat it. But that's the thing. We need to have the wisdom to take the knowledge that we are given and live out the way God wants us to live in a wise way.
I love how you say that, to live out the way God wants us to live, because
mm-hmm.
Jesus was our example. He was
yes.
the perfect example. And I love Proverbs, right? Because Proverbs
mm-hmm.
is filled with endless verses. You can Google Proverbs and Wisdom, and you'll see 31 verses, 25 verses, 42 mm-hmm. verses. And you can go through and count just how many times Proverbs. Wisdom is mentioned. Yeah. I'm going to read a few.
Okay.
I'm going to read a few. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord mm-hmm. is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. See, sometimes, like, as you're saying, you have the knowledge and the wisdom.
You know what to do,
you
don't
want
to do
it. You hate to do either the right thing in a situation, or we don't want to do the right thing, or we don't want to follow it out because it may be not what we want to do, right?
You should exercise, but you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Proverbs 3:7, never let yourself think that you are wiser than you are. Simply obey the Lord and refuse to do wrong. Oh, man, how guilty are we of this, right?
Guilty.
Guilty as charged all the time. Never let yourself think that you are wiser than you are. Man, we think we have all the answers. We think we think that if we do it our way, it's going to end up being the right way. Even if we know that there is a better way, God's way, His will. Sometimes we try to force His will, right? We try and make things happen faster or quicker, or we just don't have the patience to wait it out. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. That's another one.
Yeah.
Another good one. You know, listen to the wise teachings of those who have come before you, of those who are older than you, of those who of your father figure, if of your father, and ultimately of our Father, the Lord. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. And that's Proverbs 14:8. So my point in reading some of these, Jesus lived the Proverbs for us. So, you know how often we hear the term, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Do what Jesus would do. Well, we don't have to ask that question. I think it's in Proverbs. If he lived it out. So if we want wisdom and we want a life that's empowered by Christ, we go to him.
Right.
See, he's our wisdom.
Right.
So if we listen less to ourselves, that inner voice, we all got that inner voice that tells you, I got the answer. I know how to do it. No, listen less to ourselves and listen less to what the world tells us and more to what Jesus did and said. That's wisdom. That's where we will find the ultimate wisdom. And that's how we can be wise and have the wisdom that will really surpass everything.
Yes.
Surpass everything. And it's awesome to have knowledge. It's awesome to have a great education. And I will always encourage my children and encourage everyone to pursue as much knowledge and education as possible. And this is Karen Month here on Faith on the Field. And Karen is an awesome...
Go get your education.
Awesome education. I already told the girls, I don't care if you want to move to Florida or whatnot, but when it's time for getting your education, we might have to send you on back to Karen University. go over there and get your education. Education is an awesome, awesome tool, and it's so wonderful. But wisdom, I'm not talking about knowledge and book smarts and expertise and being a genius in certain areas. Wisdom is knowing the Lord, because when we know Jesus, when we have that relationship with him, everything changes. Everything changes. Yeah. It changes. You're not going to have all wonderful days. You're not going to have awesome times, and you're not going to have a life that's free of storm, and you're going to have challenges, and all of us, whether we're believers or non-believers, but when you have faith in him, when you have the wisdom to have a relationship with him, you got the answers. It's like having the answers to the test. You ever take a test and know the answers already?
I hate taking tests, but yes, I agree with you. And also, I want to add, I really hate taking tests, but like, I want to add this though. Like, when we pray and ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom, especially with certain things, like having wisdom with your children, having wisdom mm-hmm. with your spouse, having wisdom with work, what to do in certain things and situations. The Holy Spirit really imparts wisdom on you and really tells you what to do. You will find the answer in you. Let me just say this. God speaks every day, all day.
Yeah.
He speaks all day, every day. And the Holy Spirit directs you every day, all day, if you would let him. So if you would start yeah. your day saying, lead me today to the answer on this problem, I find myself that I find the answer. And sometimes in the weirdest ways, and sometimes in the oddest ways, he would answer me and say this or send like someone I've never heard of before to say something random mm-hmm. that really clicks with you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. So he really does want you to have all that wisdom. We really need to just make that a habit of answering, just always calling on yeah. the Lord and just praying about it. See, and the wisdom will come.
We seek so much information,
seeking
right?
And you will find.
So much information is available to us now.
Yes.
It's, we didn't grow up in, and I'm older than you, of course, but mm-hmm. we didn't grow up in an era where we can Google answers for tests or for papers.
No.
And I remember like encyclopedias. Oh, you even know what an encyclopedia
yes,
is?
I do.
You do?
We
okay.
Had you're in Egypt. Books, lots of books.
We'd look stuff up in encyclopedias. But so much information is available to us now. But as I was saying with answers, mm-hmm. you know, when you go into a test,
yeah.
there's so much confidence when you already know the answer. Like when you studied inside and out, and yeah. you know, I don't care what the teacher is going to put on this test, mm-hmm. I already know the answer. Well, in our lives, as we navigate through everything that we go through, Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
He's our answer. And that's our greatest wisdom comes from following his example
right.
and looking to him for those answers. So there's no challenge and there's no difficulty. There's nothing that we will encounter mm-hmm. that he hasn't prepared us for and he hasn't helped us with and he doesn't guide us through
yes.
and he doesn't lead us and he's there for us. And all we got to do is, as you said, ask, mm-hmm. call, reach out, seek,
yes.
and you will get those answers and we will have those that information. So wisdom, again, it's not what we know, it's who we know. And it's not who we know as in who can help us get a great job when we graduate or who can help us get a promotion right now in our current field or whatever we may be doing in life. No, it's the who of knowing and having a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Up next, we're going to hear from Pro Football Hall of Famers Emmitt Smith and Jerome Bettis. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
This is Emma Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We are also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list. Get our weekly episode delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our social media platforms. I am at Rob Motti on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. Instagram, I'm at Real Rob Motti. Remy is Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. Remy's Mother's Day virtual sermon at Abundant Life Ministries Philadelphia is available on her Facebook pages and mine, and also on the Faith on the Field page. My virtual sermon titled The New and Improved Normal that I shared at Franklinville United Methodist Church in Newfield, UMC, earlier this month is available on my YouTube channel. I delivered a commencement speech last week at Valley Forge Baptist Academy. The theme was passion, purpose, perspective, positivity, perseverance, peace. That is also up on my YouTube channel, and several clips are available on my social media. Our first guest this week is former Dallas Cowboys and Arizona Cardinals. He did play there a couple years to finish out his career. Running back Emmitt Smith. Emmitt has more yards rushing and more rushing touchdowns than any player in NFL history. He won 3 Super Bowls with the Cowboys in the 1990s. He was a league MVP. He was a Super Bowl MVP. Emmitt was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2010. I caught up with Emmitt on the red carpet at the NFL Honors Awards show the night before the Super Bowl in Miami a few months ago. Here is part of our conversation.
Emmitt, tell me how important your faith has been to you throughout your journey in the NFL and now after your career.
You know, the older you get, the more wiser you're supposed to become. And when you have faith in the things that you've been able to accomplish and you start looking at the Word and reviewing the Word and reflecting over the years of progress that you've made through this journey of life, faith is everything. It's confirmation that, number one, you've been touched with this very special gift, and how you have taken care of that gift has brought you to this point and beyond. And the Word also speaks your talent will make room for you. And all of us, our talent has created more space for us than we can ever, ever imagine. So faith is the substance of things that are hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And so we've always had a vision of being here. How you get here and the process that you have to go through and the journey to get here is really what you hold on to the most, because you understand to whom much is really given, much is really required. And it requires a lot of us to be good stewards of not only our talents, but also to share with the world.
Amen, brother. That was Pro Football Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith. Our next guest, Jerome the Bus Bettis, played for the LA Rams, St. Louis Rams, and Pittsburgh Steelers. Bettis is 8th currently on the all-time rushing yards list and 11th in rushing TDs. He won a Super Bowl with the Steelers. He was elected into the Hall of Fame in 2015. I spoke to Jerome on Radio Row during Super Bowl week. Here is part of our conversation.
Welcome in Hall of Fame running back Jerome Bettis. I know you're a strong man of faith, and a couple years ago on a trip to the Holy Land where my parents are from, I visited it when I was 3.5 years old, haven't been back since, but it's such a special place. I mean,
it really
to be
is.
Where Jesus was. You got baptized in the Jordan River. Tell me about that experience.
You know, it was an experience of a lifetime. Me and my wife, we got a chance to go over there and experience the Holy Land and see the culture and see the religion and see how all the religions are kind of intertwined,
yeah.
And how they're all connected. And then we had an opportunity to be baptized in the Jordan River, which for myself was a life-changing experience. And my wife, we both talk about it, because it was a start of a new life,
yes,
for us. And for them to give us the opportunity to be baptized, right, in the same river. When you go back to the thousands of years that Jesus and many other people have been baptized, and it was just such a special, special moment.
Well, you know what? You inspired me. At some point in my life, I'm going to go back there, visit some of my family, because we got so many back there still, and I'm going to do it again, even though I've been baptized, but I'm going to do that
again.
Yeah,
you just, at the very least, you've got to dip your feet in the Jordan River.
That's
you
beautiful.
Have to.
Well, thank you so much, man.
No
I
problem. Thank
it.
You.
That was Jerome Bettis, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Appreciated the opportunity to speak to Jerome and Emmitt Smith, both men of faith. Up next, you're going to hear my conversation with Cairn University President Dr. Todd Williams. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Restelli Foods Group, Narstown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. June is Karen Month on Faith on the Field. We'll have special guests from the university each episode throughout the month, and we're going to kick it off with University President Dr. Todd Williams. Dr. Williams is a good friend. He is a strong leader and a man of God. He is filled with wisdom, which we've been talking about throughout the episode. You could follow Dr. Williams on Twitter at PresidentTJW. Here is my conversation with Karen University President Dr. Todd Williams. Dr. Williams, we are living in challenging times, difficult and uncertain times, but we know there's great comfort in knowing that God is greater than everything, including a global pandemic. It's always important in our lives, no matter what's going on, to have a perspective of faith, to come at things and attack them with the perspective of our faith can help us through it. But why do you feel even more so when times are difficult, like now?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. That's a great question, and it's great to be with you, and happy anniversary, by the way. I forgot to say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Really good. Congratulations on that. We've been, you know, we talk a lot about that at the university, of course, being an institution with our mission to educate students to serve Christ, and we spend a lot of time integrating faith and learning, and I think one of the things that happens when you have times of strain, you actually start to see sort of how real that faith is. And that faith is not, it's not just a security blanket. It's not a binky that you know, put in your mouth to pacify you. It's actually a way of looking at the world. And that importance of faith perspective, you know, and we talk about it as a worldview, is you believe in the God of the universe, creator and sustainer of all things, who has revealed himself to us in nature and in scripture, and has, you know, made a way for us to be redeemed and saved through his son, Jesus. And that perspective, that he is in control, that he's creator and sustainer, that he is savior, that's the lens through which you view everything. And perspective is so important. If you just think about, you know, the way that you look at something, in general, whatever it might be, that matters. And having a faith perspective in times of strain and trial is absolutely critical. I was just giving a talk recently, and one of the things I said was, if you read the New Testament, you know, what you have to remember when you're reading it, and it's actually really a helpful exercise, is almost virtually every letter written to Christians in the first century is written to Christians under some sort of strain. Internal strife, persecution, being ostracized by their Jewish counterparts, being persecuted by a pagan culture, enduring hardships, poverty. Like, everything that's written there is written to Christians who are under strain. And every time the apostles are addressing that, they're calling people back to remember what they believe. And I just think that that's critical. It keeps us from panic. It keeps us centered. It keeps us seeing that the Lord's still at work, even when our circumstances are disturbing to us. I think that it isn't just believing in faith. It's, you know, I hear a lot of the spiritual talkers, you know, I'm a person of faith, so I'll endure it. It's actually what you believe in
and
your perspective is. It's not enough to be a spiritual person. You have to believe, you're convinced that there is a God of the universe, creator and sustainer of all things, sovereign provider, who's given us his son and his word and his spirit. Those are the things that hold us. It's not just the idea that we're religious or we believe in some supreme being. It's what we believe in that shapes that perspective.
You made an excellent point in there also when you touch on the New Testament. And you, like, we think about what we're going through and, oh, I can't leave the house or I can't do this.
Right.
Paul is in jail, and he's writing some of the happiest books of the New Testament.
Yeah.
It's incredible when you put it through that perspective. And this isn't our first time this country's going through a pandemic. It's not the first time. There's been massive health crises. There's been difficult times that we've endured. And there is value in understanding the history. How do you feel that helps us as we navigate through today's trials and then tomorrow's trials to understand that we've been through this before? This is how we did it. This is how we've overcome, and we can sustain. We can get through.
Yeah, I think that in addition to a faith perspective, keeping things in perspective means also remembering that we're not the first people to walk the earth, and if the Lord tarries, we won't be the last. And, and people have gone through all kinds of stuff in the history of humankind, and God's people in particular. And I think that what that does for us is remind us that people have endured some serious hardships. You know, you see stuff on social media. Look, you know, our grandfathers were asked to go to war at 19 and stop fascism. We're being asked to stay in the inside and sit on the couch. You know, there's a sense of that kind of perspective. It isn't that this isn't hard. It isn't that it isn't disruptive. It isn't even that for some people, the health dimension of this is a dangerous thing. There's reason to be concerned, but remembering the things that we've been through. And, you know, I have a podcast called Worth Repeating where we look at some historical speeches and texts. And the whole point of that is to just to remember the things that we've been through. And I was doing some reading recently on the Great Depression. You know, we had families that sold everything they owned, put $20 in their pocket, and walked from Oklahoma to California.
Wow.
In the last century. And, you know, just trying to find a new life. And you know, you're this is all about, you know, faith on the field and sports. There's that great movie, Cinderella Man, that Russell Crowe's in, plays the boxer, and it's set in the Depression, and you just get such a perspective of what families endured during that time. I think it's really helpful to remember, not just, you know, in America in the last century, but throughout history, people have endured great hardships, and there have been losses, and there have been things that we've had to suffer, but that historical perspective is key, because I think it keeps us from thinking somehow that no one's ever experienced what we've experienced, and no one's going through what we're going through, and how could they expect us to survive this, and what will life be like after this? You know, people have endured some pretty serious stuff. The Spanish flu of the early part of the 20th century was really bad. You know, I mean, it was a serious pandemic in America. This isn't, as you said, this isn't our first rodeo. Yeah, and I think that's helpful.
When times are toughest in our lives, as they are currently, they're tough, they're difficult. Often in sports, we say this, and in real life, in true life, however we respond, whatever our reactions, it reveals who you really are, your true character.
Yeah.
How are you seeing character being manifested in this crisis?
Yeah, there's two things about that I think are really helpful right now. It's easy to say, well, you know, this is, you know, there's that great line, I think it's Lincoln, who says adversity doesn't develop character as much as it reveals it. You know, the idea that that you actually see what people are made of. And it's easy to be critical and say, you know, holy cow, you know, this is all you got in the tank. Like, this has got you off the tracks, you know, and it's easy to look and see what it reveals. I actually think that is helpful. I think it can be very confronting for us. We can actually look and say, hey, look, you know, I don't think I realized how given to fear I am. But then the issue is what it reveals. Do you want to work on it? Do you want to work on it yourself? Do you want to work on it with your kids, with your students, with the people in your congregations? When we see character revealed in hardship, it's not enough to assess and say, boy, and we blew it with this generation, or boy, we blew it with this culture. The issue is now, what are we going to work on to tighten that up? What do we need? What strengths did it reveal? What weaknesses did it reveal? And what are we going to do about that now? I think that's a really helpful thing, because I do think that's what happens. You know, I used to lead wilderness trips, and, you know, as soon as the weather went south, you knew what people were made of, you know, because, you know, if you're on a canoe trip and it's raining 4 days, and you got people that just fall apart, you know, that's now, no one likes to be in the rain for 4 days, but then you have other people that, you know, face the weather no matter what it is, and that is revealed. But the question I always ask is, after it's revealed, now what are we going to do about it? You know, do we like that? What does it say about us? I think Americans are going to have a really big aha moment. Step back and when this is all done and do a little post-mortem and a little, you know, debrief afterwards and think about your life and think, you know, what did that reveal about me and us? And do we like that? Are we happy with that? Is that helpful? Are the things we need to address and change? And I would say, you know, in terms of the other two things we just talked about, I think we need to revisit the issue of how we're teaching history to help people have a historical perspective. We need to start talking more openly about our faith in a sovereign God and all of those things. If the things that are revealed are troubling to us, there are things we can do to address it.
I just preached a virtual sermon on Sunday in New Jersey about the new and improved normal, how our lives
were being dominated by false idols, and not necessarily just looking at sports and entertainment and all these other things that was taking our time, but even our phones, everything that's distracting us. And I feel that as we're going through this and all of those things have been shut down and we're seeing what's really important and our faith and our family time is being prioritized. And I'm hopeful that as we go into a new normal, it's improved in that we understand and we recognize that our faith and our family has to be at the forefront, and all those other things. We lived without them for however X amount of months now it's going to be. We can continue to keep them on the background rather than God and our time with our wives and time with our kids on the background. It's how do you think younger people – see, it's easier for me to understand that and come to that realization. I'm older and I'm married. How do you think younger people, students maybe, can come to that realization?
Yeah, I think there needs to be some time spent in reflection and discussion with one another. But also, I actually think one of the things that could come out of this, and I think you're right on all fronts, I think the superfluous drops away in the midst of stuff like this, and you start realizing, you know, where your priorities are, and you all of a sudden something's not occupying time, and you start thinking, well, I don't really miss that much. I don't really know if I want to go back to that. I think what younger people need to do on the other side of this, because you're right, you have kids and you have a family and you have more time together now, or the pace is less frenetic, you think differently. Younger people are actually giving up a lot, their social settings, their time outside, their time traveling, all of that. I think they need to reflect, and they need to talk. But this is one of the things I'd say would be really helpful for people to think about, is not just talking to themselves. I'm hopeful that one of the things that will happen as a result of this crisis will be more multi-generational interaction. In other words, that you will be able to share what you've learned, Rob, in the midst of this with younger folks, and they'll be looking for that. And then we can learn from them as well. That I'm hopeful that we'll actually start talking. You know, we talk about everything else in our society, multicultural, multi-generational is really important. And I think, you know, just think about what we do so often in churches. We start a young marriage class and they stay with one another until they die. But it's the blind leading the blind. You got people who are together raising their kids with no one in the room who's already raised kids. I think that it's so helpful for young people to actually, in conversation, not just with themselves and their own generation, but form some multi-generational groups and start talking about what everybody's learned. Because that's, you know, that old line, it's in It's Wonderful Life, youth is wasted on wrong people. You know, that's that sense that it's so easy that we're only thinking about our own point in life. I find that it's hard for me to imagine what an 18-year-old is experiencing right now. But I don't have an 18-year-old at home, and I'm not an 18-year-old. So I try to talk to them and say, you know, what's going on? How you doing? And you realize some of them are more bored than I am. I'm not bored. I have hobbies and things that I can do. And, you know, I like to read. I'll watch documentaries. That some of them are bored. And I you have to sort of learn from that. And I think that kind of cross-generational talk would be really helpful.
I think that is such an important part. And that is, we see that in sports a lot of times. When the rookies come in, they're leaning on the veterans, right? And the veterans have been leaning on guys who've come before them, who've set the way. And if we can apply that, not just in sports where we see it played out, but in all aspects of our lives. Now, Dr. Williams, we're living in an age where misinformation is prevalent. People have different agendas, and it makes it real difficult at times to understand what's true, to trust the information that we're receiving. The only truth I know is God's word. So how do you feel that we can best seek wisdom during this and all challenges?
Yeah. I actually think that wisdom, and for us as Christians, biblical wisdom, is an absolutely essential thing to managing crisis and dealing with challenges. I think that it is that we need to constantly be developing it, cultivating it, and working to keep it. And I think that it actually is absolutely essential in these kinds of times. And so, you know, I started, good grief, it's probably now, you know, 35 years ago, I started reading a chapter of Proverbs almost every day. One of the things that sort of has done for me is you have this sort of repertoire of things in your mind that are constantly popping up in the course of the day, you know, because wisdom really is just skillful living. It's not just being smart. It's learning to navigate life in a skillful manner. But what you see in the book of Job and what you see suffering and difficulty. Job isn't really a story about a guy who just hangs on. Job's on a quest for wisdom in the midst of his suffering, and the wisest thing he does is stop questioning God. That's actually the convergence of his repentance and the manifestation of his wisdom is, I spoke of things I didn't understand, things too wonderful for me to comprehend, and he just sits at the feet of God. Now, in the midst of all of that, too, he has to discern what his friends are saying and whether it's true or not, and dealing with misinformation. It's not just the misinformation we get from the news, it's the misinformation we get spiritually, you know. We have to be very careful, and I think that Scripture does a lot to develop that kind of wisdom where you just start, it just gets in there. This is the importance of letting that word dwell in your mind and your heart. You have all of this at your disposal. In the bigger picture kinds of issues, but also in the smaller circumstantial things. You just start drawing on it, like an athlete with muscle memory. You know, they just, it's in there and it just sort of, it becomes a natural thing. But you don't get there by accident. You have to work on it. You have to sort of read. You have to read Scripture. You have to make observations about the world around you. You have to think about implications of decisions that you will make. If I do this, what's likely to happen? And I think that's it, too. If you just think about it, you know, one of the wisest things people can do right now is take a break every once in a while from the news and social media. There's the government agencies are providing all the information we need that's hardcore data about the numbers, about the restrictions and guidelines. But we gobble this stuff up, we drink it down, and it's all sort of, it's permeating everything we do. And I think sometimes wisdom says stop, just get the information you need without the commentary, without the editorials, without the drama, because we just start consuming that. And I think part of wisdom is knowing what to consume and what to listen to and what not to listen to and when to pay attention and when to take a break. And but that kind of living comes by practicing it. And I actually think Proverbs, Job, James, those are great places to start.
Absolutely, 100%. The opportunities that we have now, too, Dr. Williams, we should always be looking for opportunities to minister. But when it's difficult times like this, challenging times, there are so many vast opportunities to be able to do that, to be able to let people know that there is hope, that there is victory, that we will see, that God is greater than this. How do you feel we can approach that window and try and just, when somebody just knocks a little bit, go for it and bring in the aspect of our Lord and Savior?
Yeah, I think you start with where we started the conversation is this perspective, which is you as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to see every day as an opportunity to be his witness. And this is why Christians shouldn't be shrinking and shirking. Like, we don't shrink back from these things. We don't pull the covers over our head and hide from it till things get better. We don't shirk opportunities and challenges when they're in front of us. We don't shrink. We don't shirk. We just keep moving forward. Like, that's the only direction that a Christian goes. So you go into every day knowing that there are real opportunities to bless and encourage people, to bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ, and those opportunities are in front of us all the time. And in the midst of challenges, one of the first things we have to do is stop seeing these things as hurdles or interruptions to our lives or things that have disrupted the flow of things. See them as just the conditions that I've been placed in, and my job hasn't changed. My job is to be that faithful servant, that follower, that one who's bearing witness to Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how if you just drop the lenses of your own, you know, constantly evaluating your life by your circumstances, how much opens up in front of you. And it's true that people are more receptive now, they're asking more questions. But if we haven't dropped that lens of looking at our own selves and see the fields white and ready for harvest, as Jesus said, then we're going to miss all those opportunities. You know, and I've had people say to me, you know, in the midst of this is changing ministry forever. Yeah, maybe for the better. Hopefully for the better. I mean, how are we going to get through this? What are you talking about? God's people in the first century were being, you know, put to death in front of their kids and painted with red pitch and used to light the streets of Rome. I mean, what are you talking about? Now, we've been through far worse. We have a God who's greater than all of these things, and the fields are in front of us white as snow. Just keep doing what Christians do. I think that's the key, is you got to drop that idea that somehow this is an impediment to your carrying out ministry and see it as the context in which you're supposed to carry out your ministry.
Amen. Amen. Before you go, Dr. Williams, tell me, I know you mentioned it a little bit, your Worth Repeating podcast. How often does it come out? And people, I'm on all podcast platforms, yeah, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all that stuff, right? People can download and listen.
Yeah, people can get it. Yeah, it's on iTunes and Spotify and the other platforms. And it's basically, some of it's poetry, some of it's scripture, some of it's a historical speech. Last year, Memorial Day, I read Lincoln's letter to Mrs. Bixby when she lost all her sons in the Civil War. And so I read a historical document. I provide some context and some commentary on it. And every couple of weeks, there's a new one up. Once a month at the longest, but usually every couple of weeks, there's a new one up. And then we started doing these Todd Talks at the university too on YouTube and on our university channels, which are just short 5 to 10 minute talks on something practical like we've been talking about. We're trying to keep encouraging people, but I've really enjoyed Worth Repeating because I love historical stuff and people can find that easy. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I feel encouraged after this conversation. I'm always the encourager, but this was really good. I really enjoyed this conversation. As always, Dr. Williams, really appreciate it. We love our relationship with Karen University. You guys are awesome. And as we continue to grow here, some exciting things happening. So we really, truly appreciate it. And thank you for spending some time.
Well, my pleasure, Rob. We love you guys and we love what you do. It's just good to see you doing well, and I appreciate the encouragement also.
That was Dr. Todd Williams, Karen University president. Really enjoyed that conversation. So much information and wisdom in there. Looking forward to having special guests from the university throughout the month of June for Karen Month on Faith on the Field. I want to thank all of our guests today, Emmett Smith, Jerome Bettis, Dr. Todd Williams. Big thanks to Doug Horton, our EVP of Business Operations, for his great work. Big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website podcast. Big thanks also to our producer, Ryan Lennox. Thank you also to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.